Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome in to another episode of Prep Rally for this Wednesday, October 11th. Brad here, of course, with Dalton. Another week, another show. Dalton, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah, like you said, another week, another show. And, you know, we're right here in the middle of softball playoffs now, right in the middle of division play for football. So,
yeah, we got plenty going on, man.
We do. It's been busy, busy.
Been having some good football games lately. We'll talk about some of the big results from last week, as we always do. Look ahead to some big games. We got some big games. Okay. We remember a few weeks ago, we had a couple of weeks where the slate of games was not the best.
Yeah,
we're past that now.
Yeah, they're picking up now. There are a lot of good games this week.
In fact, we've got two games that might be just the two biggest games in the state, period. You can make an argument for that. And we'll talk about those. We will have a little bit of an update on softball. We'll have Athletes of the Week here on this episode of Prep Rally, which you can access in iTunes. And you can also, or if you don't have an iPhone, any of your podcast apps should be able to get it for you. Also, can stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. And, hey, don't forget to follow us on Twitter. At D Journal Preps. Week 8 had some interesting results, had one big upset, but we'll start with Tupelo. Nothing surprising there, Dalton, as you went out and watched the Golden Wave run all over South Haven, 44-14. Another big night for J-Rock, Jaquarius Williams.
Yeah, it was. And honestly, you said it wasn't surprising. I was a little surprised that it was as bad as it was, as quick as it just happened so quick.
I mean, South Haven's not a bad team. They beat Oxford a few weeks ago, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. But Tupelo went out there and just real quick, I think it was 17-0 into the first quarter, 37-0 at the end of the half, and then, you know, pulled all their starters at the end of the
Was not even as close as the score might indicate.
No, it was not. J-Rock had another huge night. He only played the first half. He had 211 total yards and 4 touchdowns, 3 rushing, Jeez. 1 receiving. But, you know, from watching them week in, week out, he does it over and over and over again.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at all the running backs in the area, and he might be the best one. I mean, A, he's got the numbers, but B, you know, is this the way it is? He's doing this against better competition than most running backs around here.
He is, and then it also helped the other night that Stephon McGlon kind of had his best night of the season, in my opinion.
Right.
He ended up being 9 of 12 for 145 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Which, that was his first multi-touchdown passing game of the season. So, he looked comfortable back there. They had a lot of big plays throwing, and it'll be nice to see them get settled down back there at quarterback, because I know they had a little 2-game stretch where they weren't throwing the ball very well.
Yeah. And, you know, Stephon is a junior now, but he's been in some battles and second years in a starting role. So, probably looking for him to become more consistent and have that type of game every week, which he'll need this week, and we'll talk about that game coming up in just a minute. Another big game from last week, Itawamba AHS against Shannon. That was a big battle in 2-4A, and Itawamba with the win of 40-26, and that was big in the division race. Obviously, now that doesn't mean Itawamba is going to win the division. You still got Pontotoc out there, but they are tied for first with Pontotoc. Those teams will meet the 20th. That'll be next Friday, so that'll be a huge game there when Itawamba takes on Pontotoc.
That's going to be a fun one. I'm ready for that one.
Yeah. I mean, Shannon having a good year, and, you know, that offense for Shannon is really, really explosive, and Itawamba did a good job kind of keeping it in check. I mean, they're going to get some points, but to hold Shannon to 26 with what they've been doing this year, it's not bad. And Itawamba, as we've seen, they got a really good offense. Itawamba can put up points as well, and they did it again last week against Shannon. And one more quick game. This was the upset of the week. Nettleton takes down South Pontotoc, previously unbeaten South Pontotoc. First loss of the season for the Cougars, the final 43-42. South Pontotoc came down and scored with, what, a second left?
Yeah, I think decided it was as time expired.
Went for two. Now, and there's that old rule, that old adage, you know, go for the tie at home, go for the win on the road. So, you know, that's, I mean, they scored 42 points. You figure, you know, pretty good odds of getting two more, especially with the players they have on that offense, Cole Brown and Eddie Ivey and Brett Riley. But kudos to Nettleton for making the big defensive stop there at the end of the game and pulling off the upset. Because Nettleton, you know, they're just kind of having a so-so year, and now suddenly, bam, they get a huge win and really help them as they try to nail down a playoff spot here the last few weeks.
Yeah, and South Pontotoc, you know, they've been kind of playing with fire the last few weeks. You know, Morville, I think it was 20-7, and then Hatley was right about that same score.
Yeah, Hatley was a close game pretty much throughout, but their defense played well. But the offense, that game, not as good as they were against Nettleton.
Yeah, it looks like South Pontotoc, they played with fire a little bit, and they finally got burned.
They did.
And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because they have a tough road down the rest of the division play. And if it's possible that they could end up not making the playoff if they're starting 7-0.
Is it? I haven't done the math on all that.
Yeah, I mean, they'd have to lose out,
right?
Of course. But
which probably won't happen, but, I mean, South Pontotoc is a good team.
They are.
It's a one-point loss on the road. You know, I think this program is probably I think they can probably shake that off pretty well. But, again, credit to Nettleton and Colton Osborne. The quarterback had a huge game. Gosh, I don't have the numbers. Yeah, I do have the numbers in front of me. He had 376 passing yards, 4 TDs. He also rushed for 107 yards. So he's a good quarterback. Got a good arm. He's a good pitcher for the baseball team as well. So congrats to Nettleton on that big win. A couple of other notable results from last week. He had Calhoun City. Man, they're probably the best team in 2A.
Oh, no doubt. They just be killing teams.
East Webster is a good team, and they just annihilated the Wolverines. 67-15 was the final. That's what you expect them to do to the bottom of the division. East Webster is not a cellar dweller, in my opinion. But Calhoun City just, I think that's just indicative of how good that team is, and I expect to see them in the state championship game again this year. Another result, the game I was at, Smithville and Faulkner at Smithville, defensive struggle. 7-6 was the final. The Seminoles with the big Division 1-1A win there. And, you know, Faulkner's missing some guys due to injuries, including their star running back, Alex Caldwell. And really, the Faulkner's defense did a really good job against Dustin Moffitt, the explosive playmaker there, who can catch it and take handoffs and run it there for Smithville. He did get loose for a 29-yard touchdown, which was the only touchdown that Smithville scored. But otherwise, he did not do much at all on the ground or through the air. So Faulkner, with a really good showing defensively, they just couldn't get anything cranked up offensively. And Smithville's got a good defense, too. Got a good game from Chet Moffitt, linebacker. Had an interception. He had the fumble recovery. Lane Williams, another linebacker, had an interception. But anyway, one of those good old-fashioned defensive struggles that Smithville came out on top there. Let's look ahead to this week's games. Okay, I couldn't wait to get into this because we got some huge games this week, two in particular. We'll talk first about Olive Branch at West Point. Olive Branch, quick review, in case you don't know, had been in a 6A team for years. Last year went 0-11, very uncharacteristic for that program. Got a new coach in there this year, Tyler Turner. He's got them turned around, 7-0 now in division, and they're in Division 1-5A with West Point after the reclassification. And so you've got the reigning state champ in West Point, also 7-0, hosting Olive Branch, which is back, it appears, to its old self. They've got some good Division I prospects on that squad, as does West Point. Had a good talk with both coaches earlier today. Actually got Chris Chambliss of West Point on the phone and Turner of Olive Branch. And, you know, both singing the praises of the other team and all the players they have all over the field. And certainly that's the case. And I was talking to Turner, just kind of his impressions of West Point. He's like, you know, you look for a weakness on film. And he said I couldn't find one. He said after watching about two series on film, he's like, okay, this is why they're the best team in the state. So it's this is probably just about as good a team as Chris Chambliss has had at West Point. And, you know, he's won some state titles. They won it last year. And this team, and the thing about this team, and Turner of Olive Branch talked about this, they've got so many different weapons. I mean, you think first about Marcus Murphy, right? The Mississippi State commit, athlete, quarterback/running back. But then you've got Chris Calvert, who's having a huge year. You've got Jason Brownlee on the outside catching passes. And you just got that defense, okay, that's not giving up a bunch of points at all. And so, you know, Olive Branch kind of the same way. They got some playmakers. They've got a really strong defense. And so, you don't know if this is going to end up being a defensive struggle or maybe some offensive fireworks or maybe something, something in between. But it's going to be a good game. I kind of wanted to go cover this game, but we're going to have Paul Jones down there at West Point to cover that big 1-5A tilt. I mean, the winner of that game, you think, wins the division. I don't see anybody else challenging either one of those teams in 1-5A. And I mentioned the defenses. Looking at the numbers for Olive Branch and West Point, they've both in seven games given up 59 points apiece. So teams are scoring 8.43 points per game against each of these teams. So defense wins championships, Dalton. That's all you can say about that.
Yeah, I looked at the schedule earlier today, and they're both of the team schedules, and neither one of them have allowed over 14 points in a game at all this season.
Yeah.
And just whenever I was looking at them, on paper they're a lot alike. They both have an extremely strong run game.
Yep.
DeMarcus Ware for Olive Branch is averaging 8.7 yards per rush. And then you have Marcus Murphy, who's averaging 8.5 for West Point. Chris Calvert, I think he's actually averaging over 10.
Yeah, he's having a huge year.
So I think they both average at least 250. I know Olive Branch is a little lower than West Point on yards per game on the ground, but they're a lot alike on paper, so it'd be interesting to see how this game plays out.
Yeah, it should be a whale of a game. Another one that should be good, Dalton, you'll be at this one over in Batesville, Tupelo at South Panola, Tupelo 7-0. South Panola 6-2, Ricky Woods back as the head coach. Of course, he had a nice run there back in the I'm trying to remember what years it was, like 02 through 06 or something like that. I think he won four championships in 5 years. Went a few other places, went to Georgia, came back and coached at Northwest Community College. I want to say he was in Tennessee at one point, and then he went, of course, to Starkville for a couple of years, won a state championship there in 2015. Now he's back at South Panola. Now, yes, they've got two losses. Okay, that's not typical of South Panola. Of course, the last year under Lance Pogue last year was not typical either. But, I mean, they've played a tough schedule so far. They've lost to They lost to Brandon 37-6, and they lost to Horn Lake 33-18. Two very good teams. They've also beaten Oxford and Hernando and Memphis University. And so you expect, especially going over there, Dalton, Tupelo is probably not going to treat this any different than they would any other year.
No, I don't think so. And, when I talked to Trent Hammond, he said it doesn't matter what the record is, it's still South Panola.
And, right.
I mean, I agree completely. But, just looking at it, they've played two common opponents, and that's Clarksdale and Brandon. South Panola beat Clarksdale 19-14 and lost to Brandon 37-6, and Tupelo handled both of those teams pretty easily.
Yeah, they beat Clarksdale 44-7, and they beat Brandon 28-13, right.
Yeah, it would be interesting. Last year, I think it was a 3-0 game.
Sure was.
Between these, I don't think it's going to be that low scoring this year.
Probably not.
South Panola has a lot stronger offense, in my opinion, and Tupelo definitely does. I mean, they're averaging almost 40 points per game, offensive-wise. And then especially with last week, they kind of got on the right track, so it would be interesting to see how that carries over.
Yeah.
And then but Tupelo's defense is—it's Tupelo's defense is still just as strong, and I think they're only averaging—they're only allowing 8.43. Like I think they only allowed 59 points all season.
And 14 of those came in the second half against some backups, right? Mm,
yeah.
Last week,
yeah, I think they scored one touchdown against like a half and half varsity and JV defense,
okay.
And the other one was in the fourth quarter late against JV.
Yeah,
but it'll definitely be interesting to see. Because South Panola is South Panola, like you said. They're still 6-2. They're 2-1 in division. So
Yeah. So, should be a heck of a game over there that Dalton will be at, Tupelo at South Panola. The game looks like I'm going to is going to be Ripley at Corinth. Now, Ripley's struggling 2-5. Corinth coming on strong. They're 4-3, 2-0 in division 1-4A. And, this is a program Todd Lowry took over last year. They missed the playoffs for the first time since 1999. This team is used to winning, used to going to the postseason. So last year was an anomaly for Corinth. They're back on the right track, it would appear. They're 4-3, but more importantly, 2-0 in division. They beat the Byhalia, and then last week they handled Tishomingo County 57-13. I spoke with Lowry earlier this week, and two of the guys that make this offense go are Tamron Patterson and Zach Patterson. They're cousins, as it turns out. He runs this this old Delaware wing T. So you got a left halfback, you got a right halfback. Tam is the left halfback, Zach's the right one, and they've been piling up the yards this year. Tam Patterson, a little bit of a between the tackles and the in traffic type of runner. Zach has more of the speed, can get to the edge, and so it's a pretty nice little 1-2 punch. And besides those guys, though, Lowry said really what's been key is the offensive line is really picked up now in the scheme, and really they know what they're doing, and they can make adjustments based on that. When they see what the defense is doing, there's not as much, thinking about what I'm supposed to do here. They just know it, and they can see and react. So looks like Corinth is going to be contending here for the division title, and if they can beat Ripley, I'd put them at 3-0 in a really good spot. So,
I think Ripley is going to put up a pretty good fight in this game. You know, they're 2-5, but they're 1-1 in division. They had a really tough start to the season.
They did, and they played a tough schedule. I've seen Ripley twice. I saw them lose to Calhoun City, and you know they did some things well, but Calhoun City is just too good. And then I saw them against Pontotoc, and they moved the ball against Pontotoc, but they had, what was it? It was 7 turnovers, I think.
Yeah,
it was
something large like that. And then, you know, last week they lost to Senatobia, and they didn't lose by much.
And Senatobia's a good team.
Senatobia lost to Pontotoc, 3 points, I think.
Yeah, and they lost to Shannon in overtime. So, I mean, that's a good team up there.
So, Ripley, I don't think the record really shows. I think they're a little better than what the record shows.
I think they are, and they could certainly use a big win against Corinth. So I think that could be a good game there, certainly. So just a quick look at some key games this week. Look for all our coverage in Saturday's Journal and at djournal.com. Let's hit up the softball playoffs real quick. The second round was completed on Tuesday. Had a few teams from the area make it through, and the third round will be on Saturday. So Saturday we've got in Class 1, it's Class 1, 2, and 3. We've got teams left in Classes 1 and 2. Class 1, East Webster at Myrtle. This is a best of three. Play them all in one day. Also in Class 1, Hamilton at Ingomar. In Class 2, we've got Amory against West Lauderdale. At the moment, I'm not sure where they're playing it. We're checking on it. And then also in Class 2, Nettleton will host Choctaw Central. You got to go see Nettleton last night as they swept Moorville.
Yeah, it's slow-pitch softball, but they were just hitting. And they looked like they were a much better team than Moorville last night. And, they never let up from the beginning, the first inning. Michael Hall, the Nettleton shortstop, leads off the game with a leadoff home run, and then basically the rest of the night was just Nettleton dominating.
Yeah.
I think Moorville had the lead in one inning in the entire 14 innings they played, and that was the top of the second in the second game.
Wow.
Nettleton used a couple of big innings. They had a 7-run inning in each game. They kind of just threw them out in front. But Michael Hall and Jayla Patterson really led the team to a victory. Michael Hall, I think, went 8-for-10 on the night.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I think all but one was a home run. Wow. All but one was a home run. I think she had 7 singles. Just kind of spark plugged that offense. She was a great leadoff. She made a lot of defensive plays. Nettleton's entire team on defense was amazing. There was 6 or 7, diving catches, sliding catches that they made. And
yeah,
so it'll be interesting to see. They looked really good. They said that last night was a revenge game for Moorville knocking them out last year.
Sure did. Knocked them out in the state semifinals, I believe, last year.
And so they didn't want that game to be the last one again this year. So they were kind of playing hard. They wanted to keep on going, and they did.
Yeah, we did have a couple of Class 3 teams that played Tuesday and got knocked out. Tupelo lost to Northwest Rankin in 3 games, and Saltillo was swept by Grenada. Okay, time for the Athletes of the Week. We do this every week. We honor a male and female athlete for their exploits on the field of play. The female athlete of the week, Mary Todd Brown of East Webster. The Lady Wolverines eliminated Smithville. I believe they swept them on Tuesday. Mary Todd, over the 2 games, 5 home runs, 11 RBIs. She had 8 RBIs in Game 2. So, huge spark there provided by Mary Todd Brown. And again, East Webster moves on to the next round to take on Myrtle. Male Athlete of the Week, we talked about him earlier, Nettleton quarterback Colton Osborne. Let's run the numbers again. 376 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, and for good measure, 107 yards on the ground as Nettleton pulled off the upset against previously unbeaten South Pontotoc 43-42. So congrats to Mary Todd and Colton, Athletes of the Week here on Prep Rally. And that's it for this episode. Thanks again for tuning in. Coming to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. I'm on there at Brad Locke. Dalton is on there at DLMiddleton8. All right, that's it. Dalton, thank you.
Thank you. That was a good week.
yeah, going to be even better with these big football games coming up.
Oh, I can't wait.
See y'all next time.